I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ramble Reacts. Jarrod Bowen bags his first ever hat-trick for the Hammers. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Andy Brassel.
Welcome one and all to Ramble Reacts. Andy, it's a bloody pleasure to have you with me and the listeners here. And that's how I see it. The listeners and I are here. It's just who's going to join us. That's the question.
That is the question. We've already had someone or something join Jarrod Bowen, because in the post-match interview where he's linking up to the Sky studio, it's like on a plinth next to him, you've got the hat-trick ball of Jarrod Bowen. So I guess depending on the angle, it looks like either it's like on a really nondescript bit of furniture, or it's sort of levitating in the air. It's like the sort of, you know, in the last Star Wars films, which obviously people have very split opinions on, the way that Kylo Ren has Darth Vader's mangled mask on top of a plinth. It's very man cave-ish. It feels like you know exactly where that's going in Jarrod Bowen's house.
Yeah, and of course, it's not accurate to say anymore. Oh, he gets to take home the match ball. It's he gets to take home one of the match balls because of the multi-ball system, Andy, that we all know and love nowadays. You don't actually get to take the match ball home, because that would be quite something if play was contained for so long and they just kept the same ball. The ball boys and girls wouldn't be doing the job, quite frankly. No,
that's true. That's true. I mean, the multi-ball system has been abused over the years. You remember at Sevilla years and years ago, where they used to, when they were winning 1-0 with a couple of minutes left, they used to get all the ball boys and girls to throw them on the pitch simultaneously to disrupt the flow. I'll tell you what, Paulo Dybala scored a hat-trick for Roma earlier, and he did something quite clever, because they have this thing in Spain and Italy now. They have this thing where they each ball that goal is scored with, they take it away, put it in a sack, and they sell it for charity afterwards. Right. And you think, okay, fair enough. But what he did is, when he scored his hat-trick goal against Torino today, Dybala took the ball out of the net, went behind the goal to the curva to celebrate, and just threw it to a guy in the crowd. And so he got Dybala's hat-trick ball.
Oh, right. He was like, don't worry, mate. I'd rather this go to you than anybody get any charitable money from it. What a little scumbag. What a dirty little... I'm sure that's
Argentina for you.
Yeah, I've done him a great disservice. I've no doubt. He scored a hat trick. Jarrod Bowen scored a hat trick as well, Andy. A lovely hat trick it was. His first ever senior hat trick.
Beautiful.
Which is quite something, yeah. It was a blistering start to the game. Andy Brassel, I mean, barely had we sat down and suddenly West Ham were playing the West Ham way.
I don't know if it's too simple to say it's all down to Lucas Paquetá, because they spent a long time, it felt like, on Sky talking beforehand about, is he someone you want to build a team around, or is he too unreliable? And Gaël Clichy was like quite cold on him. I thought, which was quite interesting, because he said, oh, I saw him in France. And I mean, I saw him in France and I've got a slightly different view on it. But
that's the kind of thing you say, Andy. Because... Oh, I saw him playing for Lyon. He wasn't very good. Therefore, he's never going to be any good anywhere else at any point of his career.
No, that's what you hear. That's not what I say. There's a slight difference.
Why don't you rate Kenny Tete?
I do rate. He's fine for Fulham. He's fine for Fulham, Marcus.
Right.
And I tell you what, he'd probably be the best player in the Lyon team now. But I think the thing with Paquetá, I don't know if it's a bit simplistic to say this, but afterwards there will always be people who will say, oh, West Ham went out, they scored 4 goals at home, therefore David Moyes is vindicated, etc., etc., etc. Where I think the reality of it is, you put in Kudus and Paquetá, and it makes a massive difference to your ability to project forward, to bring the team forward, to be positive, to get the ball into the opposition final third quicker. And it made a massive difference. And Paquetá, despite what Gaël Clichy was saying, I thought, he's perfect for the Premier League, actually. Mm-hmm. Because not only has he got incredible technique, he wants to play football at pace, and he's prepared to get stuck in as well.
Yeah. It's a couple of bits that you sort of touched on there, Andy, with regards to the kind of the story of the match. West Ham obviously went 2-0 up very, very early on, then Neil Maupay pulled one back. At one point it was 4-1 to West Ham, and it looked pretty comfortable. And yet...
Did it feel 4-1-y to you at that point?
Yeah. No, it didn't really. And even at 4-1, then Visser scores late on. Now, I know you get an awful lot of injury time now, and I think footballers may forget that, and you can't blame them, because if you look at the clock and it's 88, 89 and you're 2 goals down, you might think, it's not really happening for us. And then suddenly it's like plus 7. It's almost like the clock gets wound back to 83 minutes. You kind of, oh, hang on, we've got a chance here. But as you said, West Ham scored 4 goals, and in the end were reasonably comfortable. They had a 2-goal cushion and finished the match with that 2-goal cushion. Yeah, it's not the most entirely convincing win, though, is it?
No. And I think that's absolutely right, Marcus. It's the difference between absorbing what actually happened in the match and just going off the result, really, isn't it? Because I guess as time goes past, people forget the detail, and you'll probably say, oh, it's just a consolation goal, really, for Visser. But it really could have been something. You talk about Jarrod Bowen winning the game for West Ham, and I think that's not an unreasonable perspective, of course. He was vital. He got them off to a great start. When he's on it, he's just brilliant to watch. He's one of the best players in the Premier League to watch. I think it's a point that Jim makes, actually, again and again, and he is such fun. But I don't think it's a stretch at the same time to say Alphonse Areola made sure they won the game. I mean, there are a couple of great saves in there, particularly one from Ivan Toney at the end. And West Ham will always, I would say they'll always give you a chance. They will always give you more than one chance. Let's be honest.
Do you feel then with West Ham that, Moyes has had his critics, and he will always have his critics, quite frankly, at West Ham as long as he manages them. They're in the top half of the table. They've got, that they're contenders to finish in the top half of the table. I don't know whether fans of West Ham or clubs around there would think that's a huge achievement or not. They're still in European competition. You know, come the summer, as I say, they could finish respectably in the league. They might have had another good run in Europe. Mm. Who knows how that'll kind of work? Well, they've already done well. They could go a bit further. It's unlikely Moyes will be there come the summer. I personally think.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think
you think?
That I suspect he'll probably move on, but either or, I'm sort of straying from the point I want to kind of make. Do you feel it is the individual quality that is propelling West Ham? I mean, I say propelling them, it's their first win of 2024. So, you know, they've not done particularly well of late. But do you think that they are just relying on that individual quality rather than a proper plan and strategy and whatnot from the manager?
Well, I think there is a plan. I just don't think it's a particularly exciting one unless you've got those guys in the team. And when you spend a reasonable amount on players and when you have a stadium that's that big, I think there's kind of an obligation to entertain. And that's before we get into the weeds of West Ham's history and what sort of football they like to play. And as you say, the West Ham way and all that sort of stuff. I think I don't really want to fall into the trap of saying, when a team's doing well, aren't the players brilliant? And when a team's doing badly, isn't the manager crap? I think that's an incredibly reductive way of looking at things. But Moyes is like, there's no middle ground with Moyes, is there? He's Brexit, because you either think he is, because you always think...
You can say he's Marmite.
No, he is the issue of Brexit. I'm not saying he represents the decision to leave the European Union. There's a slight difference. He's the Brexit debate. So I think people either think he's done a brilliant job for West Ham because he's got them in Europe three times in a row. He took them away from relegation and they won a European trophy under him. And so there's no argument on a results level. I mean, I think there's nuance and that there probably is argument on a results level, because I think at times they should have, certainly in the league last season, they should have done much better with the resources they had than they actually did, and winning the trophy saved them. Winning the European trophy saved
Conference
them.
League, yeah.
And there are people on the other side who will say the football's trash, it's an affront to West Ham, and once he loses one or two key players, they're absolutely in the mud. And I think realistically, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I think you can spend enough time talking, and we can spend enough time talking about David Moyes at West Ham, not to say either he's amazing and he deserves to be canonised and he's better than John Lyle, and saying, oh, his football's really boring and he's shit and fans shouldn't have to put up with it. I think there is an opinion somewhere in the middle. I think you can say there are some things that he's done that have been extraordinary while he's been coach, and there are other bits where his limitations have been exposed. I think it's fine to say that.
Well, look, I thought that he might not be there kind of come the summer. But, I mean, he has been offered a new contract by West Ham.
So it seems.
He'll decide his future at the end of the season. And I think it may well be Moyes who decides that maybe it's time to move on. Yeah. Was perhaps important. So, I mean, it was rumoured that his relationship with technical director Tim Stuyten is a potential sticking point. So we shall see what comes out in the wash there. But let's go back to the actual game itself, because I don't want to lose sight of the fact that Jarrod Bowen scored a hat-trick. On yesterday's Football Ramble, we were talked about Ollie Watkins and what he's been doing, and it would be very hard on him if he doesn't get in the England squad. But the feeling is Ivan Toney will be the backup to Kane. Well, what about Jarrod Bowen? Because he is playing through the centre for West Ham. However, we know he can play on one of the flanks, on the right side in particular of a front three. He's played a little bit there for England as well. Not too much, but he's had a few caps. Would that be a potential option for Southgate, Andy? Because he can play on one of the flanks. I know there's fierce competition in those places, but he also doubles up as somebody who can go through the centre. I personally think he's probably on the periphery of the squad, but what do you think yourself?
I'm into the idea. I'm really into the idea. I think what you underlined there, the versatility. I mean, I suppose it's a bit of a cliche of picking tournament squads, but to have someone who's not in the first 11 that can cover a number of different positions, a number of different forward positions, is really important. I think when you talked about Ivan Toney maybe having the drop on Ollie Watkins, I mean, I would think that's, I don't think that's fair. I think okay. Watkins should go ahead of Toney, to be perfectly honest. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable at all to think that.
I think that when you look at the case for including Toney, so much of it is personality based. You feel he's a leader. He's got a bit about him.
He can take a penalty. And Jared Bowen, for crying out loud, he can take a penalty. Well.
but Jared Bowen is a huge personality in a very different way, I think. And he's a leader in a very different way. So it manifests slightly differently. But I think Jared Bowen, not just because he's worked himself up from the lower divisions, you know, thinking Hereford, Rochdale, Hull, etc., etc. But I think the fact that...
So is Toney, by the way.
Even at the age that... Yes, of course. But mm-hmm. even... And that's part of the persona, isn't it? But mm-hmm. even at the age that he is... I mean, Toney has continued to develop and has become a better version of himself. Whereas I think Bowen has developed and is continuing to develop, because you're talking about him adapting to being a centre-forward this season. For him to be able to do that at this advanced stage in his career, I think that's enormously impressive. And that you could put him in loads of different spots and get him to do loads of different jobs. I mean, if you're talking about Toney, you're talking about sending him to backup Kane and that's it. And how would he deal with not playing? That's the great unknowable, really, isn't it? Whereas you think, not only is, if you're talking about a choice between the two, not only is Bowen more adaptable, I think, and more versatile. But because he is more versatile, he's got more opportunities to get minutes. So you're less concerned about, you know, because I think that's the major part, isn't it, of picking squad players for your squad. The guys who aren't in the 11, they have to be able to handle not being the main guy and not playing. So you look at those moments, for example, when Toney stands up, and obviously it was focused on Sky, the fact that, you know, after the second goal, he's the guy who leads the powwow in the middle of the pitch and goes, come on, lads, let's just take a breath. What are we doing here? And, you know, that leadership is sort of invaluable. Is that really needed with England, though, do you think?
Well, Andy, you spoke about personality types and how they're crucial when it comes to, well, when it comes to anything, but particularly tournament football when you're away, potentially for a long time, cooped up with everybody. Do you think, on the basis of his personality, and it would be a rogue move, I understand, he hasn't been capped by them yet, but do you think France should go for Neil Maupay?
You are just looking for ways to undermine France, and I admire it, Spells. I admire it.
Get him in
just,
there.
Just take a deep breath. Yep. I'm going to send you a few clips on WhatsApp after we've finished here of Dayo Upamecano and the sort of season he's been having. And I'll tell you what, after that, you are going to sleep like a baby tonight.
Oh, dear. I fear that Neil Maupay is becoming a bit of a caricature of himself, but...
But still...
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to be winding up Kevin Nolan, although Kevin Nolan... Maupay had walked off... And Kevin Nolan seemed to be having a go at somebody else at one point. And I thought to myself, yeah, Kevin Nolan, Neil Maupay, that they'll find a way to have a bit of aggro. There's no two ways
they
about that.
They are raging kindred spirits.
They are, Andy. Neil Maupay is among the goals again tonight. He is popping up with the odd one or two here for Brentford, we have to say. So kudos there.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
We have to mention Emerson's goal, Andy Brassel. What a sweet strike.
Oh, it's absolutely magnificent. It's brilliant. And I think the fact that it felt quite undeserved as well.
But the fans called for it. When he had the chance to shoot, you heard everyone go, shoot, shoot. And he was like, all right, I will then. Right, so they're going to be, every time he gets the ball now, anywhere near the vicinity of the goal, that's what they're going to be shouting. It was utterly glorious. Beautiful technique on it as well. What do you think of Emerson? Lewis Potter seemed to give him a bit of bother down that side. Mm. But how do you rate Emerson?
I like him. I sometimes feel that his attacking qualities, as underlined, sort of obscure the fact that in another way he's not really suited to being a fullback. He's more of a third centre back kind of fullback, really, isn't he?
You know, yeah, I see what you mean.
Great left foot, unbelievable technique, but he's not exactly lithe, is he? You know, yeah. I think you generally expect fullbacks to be a little bit more mobile than that. He is athletic. But he's not super quick. And I think if you go back over the last couple of weeks, and you know, now Kieran Trippier's got somewhere nearer to acceptable form for Newcastle, he's passed on the jinx to Dan Byrne, who's having the month and a half from hell at the moment, isn't he? And you know, he looks like he's carrying a bag of rocks up a hill at the moment, doesn't he? It's really unfortunate. But you know, I'm sure we'll get there in the end. It's not like Burns a bad player or anything like that, but he looks really exposed in that fullback position, and Emerson always has the potential for that to happen to him. But what you said about Lewis Potter, it's funny. You keep mentioning Brentford players, and you know, Lewis Potter, great to watch. I love Tony and Maupay as a pair. I was thinking towards the end of that, Damsgaard, I can't believe he's still not got a goal or assist in the Premier League. I mean, he's only started about 10 Premier League games since he's joined, hasn't he? Which, when you consider he was joining off the back of that brilliant goal against England in the Euro semi-final at Wembley, and you know, he's someone who's really highly rated in the Danish football community. I think it's unbelievable that he hasn't been able to produce more since he's at Brentford. But so many times, I've seen Brentford in the flesh a few times this season, and I always come away with the feeling of, oh yeah, they're really good, aren't they? And then you look at the results.
And they've lost again.
I, I, I keep saying, well, you can't judge it all by the results. You know, that's not a description of what happened in the game. But the reality is, especially with Everton getting some points back, like they are in the shit. Like Brentford are genuinely in the shit. And you look at the fixtures they've got coming up as well, and they've what, lost 10 of the last 12 in the Premier League? It's awful.
Yeah, they are struggling. They are struggling. And of course, you mentioning Everton there, of course, that was huge news earlier today, because of course we're recording this just after the match of Monday night, that Everton have had their punishment reduced from 10 points to 6 points. I'm sure everybody has seen this. Now, they can still be punished more points. We have to wait for the other investigation going. It's all getting a bit messy, isn't it? And obviously Nottingham Forest are subject to that as well. And we'll discuss this further on Wednesday's Ramble, where Andy and myself will be joined by Jim and Pete. So do make sure you follow us on Spotify. But yes, so Everton getting 4 points back, if you like, for now. That's what we've got to go with. They're now into 15th. Brentford are into 16th. And we spoke on Monday's Ramble that Forest are in trouble. I just sort of thought about Brentford, and I said, but Brentford, they've got Tony back. I think they'll be okay. Which is ultimately, if you push me, what I do think. But Luton now have got a game in hand on Forest and Brentford. They are 4 points behind Forest, 5 points behind Brentford. It is achievable now for Luton. I mean, it's been, I know they would argue it's been achievable for a while, but suddenly you look at that. They are the teams they're trying to reel in. Now, I know Bournemouth are only 3 points above Brentford, but Bournemouth's season seems to be a lot better than what Brentford have been doing. So when you look at the teams down there, Andy, you've talked about Brentford. Do you think Brentford are really in this, or do you expect Tony to get among the goals and them to get out of it?
Well, he has been amongst the goals. He's played pretty well, I would say, and they're still in it. You know, there's a lot of problems with them, and I think producing a consistent 90 minutes is probably the premier of those problems.
You wouldn't see Thomas Frank losing his job, would he? I mean, one of the safer managers in the Premier League.
It's hard to imagine, but if they got relegated, I could imagine him falling on his sword, definitely, because it would be such a massive disappointment, I think. I mean, the future for Brentford is a bit difficult to read anyway, because it looks like Matthew Benham's trying to sell the club, and his way of running things has given them such a leg up, really. They've got no other natural advantages. You know, they've got a new stadium, but it's bijou, I think you can say in Premier League terms. It's not a license to print money or anything like that. They've not got an enormous natural wealth. I think, you know, they've been managed very sensibly and very prudently. And, you know, you don't want them just selling to some random, I think it's fair to say. But going on the overall relegation picture, as you were looking at, I think Brentford are properly in it. Obviously, Forest are properly in it. I think they've got a fixture list that could go either way. There's enough winnable fixtures in there. But, you know, you just don't know what you're going to get from them on any given day. They're incredibly inconsistent. And Bournemouth, I mean, they are another team, a little bit like Brentford, where you see what the plan is, you like the aesthetics. They were excellent against Manchester City at the weekend. And, you know, we're not going to judge them on like losing by one goal to Manchester City, for goodness sakes. But that they are another team that need points and quickly. But if you think of there being a pressure on one team in particular to squirrel some points and quickly, it's Forest, because of what might be coming. And you think they've got Liverpool on the weekend. It's not ideal, is it, really?
Certainly not ideal, Andy. All right, well, we will, as I say, talk about Everton on Wednesday, and we shall see the relegation picture unfolding in the coming matches. Andy, some very, very sad and disappointing news happened on Monday evening. Coventry City beat Maidstone 5-0. In the FA Cup fifth round. Maidstone United's FA Cup run came to an end. And it feels sad that it came to an end on a cold Monday night in an away fixture, which wasn't the glamorous tie that they really, really wanted. Don't get me wrong, it's still an enormous achievement to go and play at Coventry City, a very, very historied club who have won the FA Cup themselves, you know, in living memory, depending on how old you are, but we are old enough. So no disgrace, etc., etc. But we wanted them to go out to Manchester City on a Saturday afternoon where we could all kind of enjoy it, or at least keep up with it on the radio, something like that. So it feels like it was a little bit of a shame. But that afternoon where they beat Ipswich Town, they'll always have that.
Yeah, that they will. And all I can say is, where one dream dies, another is born. And I look forward to I look forward to Haji Wright scoring a diving header in the final at Wembley.
A la Keith Elchin.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
I mean, it is Coventry's first FA Cup quarterfinal in 15 years. And Coventry City have had some tough times of late, it's fair to say. So
really tough. So, really
yeah,
tough.
So I'm pleased for them. In a way, but obviously it would have been great if Maidstone had managed to get through. Apparently they took 4,500 fans up there. Players did a lap of honour before kickoff, of course. Hopefully they did one after full time. Wouldn't it be a bit weird if during the game...
Do you reckon that's why they lost 5-0?
Yeah, maybe. That's what you do. You can't, I appreciate that you're just happy to be here, but come on, this is taking the piss. Yeah, I'll tell you what, Ipswich will look at that and go, how did we get put out by that lot anyway? Yeah, Maidstone, they've been a credit to the competition. We bloody love them. The fact is, we may never see them again, realistically. Like, it is within the realms of possibility that people listening to this podcast never, ever watch Maidstone United ever again in a game of football. Who knows? Aww. But it would be wonderful if they came roaring back, though. Next year, although it does seem very unlikely.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's just an amazing achievement as it is. I mean, to come from that level and reach the fifth round of the FA Cup is extraordinary. So I know what you're saying about it would have been good for them to get a real biggie, but look, they're punching well above their weight, and look, they've got some stories to tell.
They do indeed. Well, everybody, we've come to the end of this Ramble Reacts. Do join us on Wednesday, where myself, Andy, Jim and Pete will be discussing all the action from the FA Cup fifth round. In the meantime, do find us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and do follow us on Spotify. Just been told that Jared Bowen said his Spider-Man DJ celebration was inspired by DJ Spider Raji.
You do.
Righto, everybody. Thanks, Andy. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
See you Wednesday.
Spider Raji. What the f... Oh, my goodness.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.